98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest
show. You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
Bickley and Murata. Bickley and Murata.
Let's start the show.
A tremendous Monday to all you Valley sports fans. Some normalcy has returned, but Vince Murata has not. Luke Lipinski here with me again all week. Jarrett Carlin, let's get this thing rolling.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him up.
All right, we have talked repeatedly about this bizarre Major League Baseball season in progress. Now we look up into, I guess, Jared told me this is Father's Day weekend. I had no idea, man.
Aren't you a father?
Dude, and I'm the only father in this vicinity.
Yeah. Your kids were trying to pull a fast one on you, hoping you wouldn't know the weekend would go by and they wouldn't have to worry about
and
it.
And they would have pulled that off had you not said something to me. Father's Day week. And the Diamondbacks are back rolling. First road sweep of the season, Goldie back raking.
29 runs in three games. What are they, 20-10 now against the NL West this season? I mean, they play their best baseball, or at least they're getting their best results against the right teams.
Yeah. Say you disappeared in Mexico for 2 months. I disappeared there for a few days.
Okay.
Say you disappeared for 2 months and you rolled back in today and you looked at the standings, you might go, oh, D-backs are having a good season.
Yeah, they're fine.
And you wouldn't know any of the details.
You wouldn't know that it's been the definition of a roller coaster ride where they were great in April, terrible in May, and now great again in June.
Yeah.
I mean, hold on, I'm doing the math. So July would be bad, August good, September bad. So if they make the playoffs,
right,
they're in good shape.
They'll be peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Those even-numbered months, they're
yeah.
Perfect.
All right, we're going to get back into the Diamondbacks, obviously. Story number two comes from the Arizona Cardinals. David Johnson creating a little bit of a stir by being an observer at practice last week. The narrative has now moved to money, something that David Johnson has always avoided in the past with his humility and his modesty. But at the same point and same token, if this is what it's about, he may have a point.
Yeah, I mean, you figure, regardless of anybody's opinion, he's top three running back in the NFL when he's healthy. He just spent an entire season where he wasn't healthy. So you probably start to see your running back mortality in front of you, even though he's only been in the league for a couple years. He started a little bit later. Running backs' careers don't last very long. But he's making $1.88 million this year. That's not... It's not unfair, I get, like, to the average person that's not making $1.9 million.
Yeah.
But compared to other NFL players of his caliber, it doesn't look real fair.
No, it doesn't. We're going to get into this, what it might mean, if there's an easy resolution, if this is a signal and a change of relationships, personalities, mindsets, all that stuff. All right, the next big event in Arizona sports is what? The NBA draft coming up June 21st in New York. It's going to be fun. Suns have the number one pick over the weekend. Ryan McDonough said the team is going to reach out to other NBA teams to see if anybody wants to blow them away. Cautioned he didn't think anything would happen, but the fact that they want to actively reach out, I think had some people go, huh.
Yeah, on the surface, it looks a little weird. I don't think there's any way they could pass on DeAndre Ayton at this point unless somebody comes along with just some absurd offer for an established player that is still very young in this league.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense to at least check around and do your due diligence. But yeah, they raised some eyebrows.
Or maybe that one phone call is to the Minnesota Timberwolves to go, hey, you sure you want to keep that guy?
We just happen to have the number one overall pick.
Exactly. All right, item number four, the NBA Finals are over. LeBron James loses in a sweep, comes to the post-game press conference with an injured hand that he apparently injured in Game 1. then shattered a whiteboard after game four, kind of put a weird ending on that whole NBA Finals.
Yeah, if you think about it, when LeBron goes out of the playoffs, there's sort of a weird feel to it. Remember the year when he went out against Boston? His first time around in Cleveland, and it was like he just disappeared for that entire series.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the finals with Miami, those were all pretty good, but this was an odd way to go out and to get swept. Nobody thought they were ever going to win this series.
Right.
And it's not his fault necessarily that they got swept, but still, that's... You're talking about one of the two best players of all time getting swept out of the playoffs. It just feels odd.
It does. And now all of the speculation is about where will LeBron James go? And the Lakers are the team where all the speculation really seems to be heating up. That can't be good news for the Phoenix Suns, at least in the short term. No. You don't want to add another fabricated, created super team in the Western Conference in your division that, oh, by the way, features the best player in the league.
Yeah, it just happens to be your longtime bitter rivals,
right,
as well.
Right.
Let's pile on. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. All right, finally, a little bit off the grid. And Jarrett, you can post this under the WTF file, the What the Florida file. And there's a lot of stuff coming out of Florida this weekend. A 12-foot alligator ate a woman who was walking her pit bulls.
How does this happen?
They found her arm in the belly and they recognized it and they were able to ID it based on tattoos on the arm. Florida. Stay away from it at all costs.
Now, are we sure there's not just a one-armed woman running around now?
I don't know, man. I don't know what it is with that state.
Were the pit bulls okay?
That's a good question.
Was Pitbull okay?
Was Pitbull okay?
This is in Florida. He could very well have been in the vicinity.
Look, man, yeah, you've heard stories about how all that swampland has been sort of overtaken by boa constrictors that have been sort of relocated there, and they're like strangling all the Everglades, and these gators you see on golf courses, they look like tanks.
You're describing Jurassic Park.
Exactly. Bye-bye, Florida. That is your Daily Splash for today on a Monday. We're going to have a wild week of shows. I can feel it right now. The baseball team, the Arizona Diamondbacks, back in town for 7-game homestand. They've got the Pirates, and then they've got the Mets for 4 games. This looks like a good time to keep this roll going for a baseball team that is now 35-29, 2.5 games back up in the NL West. And like I said, if you had no idea what happened in April or May, you would look at this and go, okay, cool. This team has got another good season going.
Just cruising along, right?
And you just wouldn't know any of the details.
How much of a difference does Paul Goldschmidt make? I mean, this is unreal. We sat here and we talked about this for weeks on end, saying, yeah, you know, you need Goldie to turn it around, obviously, because your offense is essentially built around him, but nobody else is hitting. So if one guy turns it around, is it really going to make that much of a difference? I guess if he hits 500, it's going to make a difference.
A lot to say about this. If you want to know the numbers, and Luke just threw them out there, Paul Goldschmidt in the 9 games in the month of June is 18 for 36. He has raised his batting average up to 254 when he was barely above 200 entering the month.
He's raised it 45 points in not even 2 weeks.
At the end of last week, watching him swing, his swing, and again, I'm not an expert on this, but if you were just looking at superficial observations, it just looked different. It just looked like he was swinging with authority, with confidence, and not sort of a step behind the pitcher, if you will.
Yeah, before he looked like he was thinking, which you don't really expect from an elite hitter. And now he looks like a guy that not only has his confidence back, but a guy that's probably a little fed up with answering questions about suddenly not being able to hit.
Yeah, without a doubt. When I look at this, the story, as you described it, is extremely important from the perspective of the Diamondbacks. And that is, when you get a guy like that, who you expect to be the anchor of your entire lineup, and then you build everything else around him, and you think you have enough. You think you've kind of piecemealed enough in to replace J.D. Martinez. And then the one guy who you expect to be the constant suddenly can't hit anymore. It all fell apart.
Yeah, quickly.
All of it. It's like a house with no foundation. So for him to get back to what he's doing has sort of lifted everything right back up. So in the story of the Diamondbacks and in the context of this baseball team, particularly given, once again, their status in the Valley. when they're really good and they're the only team that's really good, everybody here becomes a baseball fan. When they struggle and then the Suns and the Cardinals do something to gain our interest, they just sink. So at a time when the Cardinals have all this stuff happening, Josh Rosen, David Johnson, all of it, and at a time when the Suns are prepping for the number one pick in the draft, for them to do this and get back into their winning first place ways, dramatically important to the baseball
league. Yeah, I mean, when you look at those three teams, they're the only ones actually playing right now. So we can sit here and we can talk up the Cardinals and we can talk up how good Josh Rosen's going to be, but so far we've only seen him in OTAs, and we can talk about how exciting it is for the Suns to have that pick and the opportunity to take DeAndre Ayton and to work out Marvin Bagley III and all these other guys. But the only team that's actually doing anything, because they're the only team that has an actual opportunity to do anything on the field right now, is the Diamondbacks.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And they were forgotten for a month, and it was their fault.
Yeah, and it was all their fault. And you saw what happened to how the story felt, and if people were talking about it, it just kind of always sags. So keeping it together after their start in April, very, very important. But individually, in the context of Paul Goldschmidt, whenever we do the whole Mount Rushmore analogy, Paul Goldschmidt's always there, right?
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a guy who is a hallmark personality, hallmark star in our Valley landscape. To watch him struggle the way he did, to look not confident, to look dispirited, confused, overthinking, it was very jarring for all of us to have a guy in the prime of his career suddenly not be able to hit. When you think of the way Paul Goldschmidt has handled this, I step back and I go, you know what? I think I like this guy more than ever, because during his slump, this must have been tearing him apart inside. And yet, just like when he's going good or doing well, he never gets too high, never makes it about himself. He kind of kept it together between the ears during this struggle.
Yeah.
Now, we know about the Torrey Lovello relaying the information, just tell them I suck. Kind of funny, kind of true, kind of sad, kind of maybe uplifting, but it was all just very, very weird. For Paul Goldschmidt to never snap, to never really kind of turn or get too much out of his personality, it says a lot about him. Says a lot about just who he is as a person.
He stuck to what he's always said, you know, even when he's having success. And you're in that clubhouse and you talk to him and he's like, well, you're not going to, it's baseball. You know, just because I had three hits today doesn't mean we won the World Series. He always deflects it back to the outcome for the team. And even when he's playing very well, he still just keeps it even keel.
Yeah.
And so you have to do it the other way, too. You can't just talk about like, oh, yeah, when I'm struggling, I'll keep it even, too.
Yep.
That was the most he's ever struggled in his career, I would guess, at any level.
Yeah.
And certainly it was the most noticeable because it was at the major league level with a team that was somehow still in first place.
Remember when Eric Burns was on our show last week and we asked him about Goldschmidt and he says that he thinks he's going to break out of the slump because of this information that he had?
It's this double wheel spinning old school pitching machine, right? That they crank up basically as fast as you can get it. You put it out there at like 50 feet away and you just start firing balls through it. And Jake was saying that was one of the things that got him going last year. And the reason why he started doing it was because of Goldschmidt. And now it's very uncomfortable for a hitter though, because what happens is you're getting the ball blown by you. And what you have to do is you have to figure out a way to shorten it up. And so what Torrey was saying is that, you know, Goldschmidt was basically, he was chasing balls out of the zone. And it started with, you know, say, the high fastball. But he said then it expanded to everything else. And so the key is just to try to shorten up, simplify it. And that was one of the things that's helped him get out of it as of late.
Now, do you guys have a perception or a visual of that contraption he was talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And basically, it's two gigantic white wheels that are just humming. And in between is a tunnel. You drop a baseball in it and boof, like that.
Yeah.
I'm well aware of this thing because baseball tryouts in high school, we had a couple of yo-yos on the team who were in charge of feeding that to all the hitters.
Okay.
You know what they like to do? They like to kind of like change the trajectory just a little.
Oh, that's good.
To plunk, guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was one of the guys that got plunked right in the shoulder.
Did you charge the mound and punch the hitting machine?
I didn't. At that age, I didn't quite know the nefarious nature of those two yo-yos and what they were doing, right?
Okay.
But that machine can get that ball humping up there really quick.
Can we get one of these machines for Alex Avila, who still doesn't have a hit this
goodness.
Month?
And put it like maybe at 30 feet and see if Alex like handles that. Whatever the reason why Paul Goldschmidt got out of this, some people, I don't know if you saw the speculation about how he and Joey Votto were having a conversation and maybe Joey Votto gave him a little tip, a little pre-pitch mechanism you do to kind of change your readiness or whatever. There's all sorts of theories about how maybe he turned this around.
Have you heard the theory? I can't remember if it was one of you even that said it, that he has a young child at home, so he gets no sleep when he has to stay at home. That's why he hits so much better on the road when he's in a hotel and he could actually sleep.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds crazy, and then it makes sense, and then it sounds crazy
again. It does, because Goldie sounds like the guy where his wife would go, Paul, just stay in bed. You got a big game tomorrow. No, hon, I'll change the diapers. Yeah. It's my night. Right?
I'll take care of the
I'll take care of it. Yeah. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But you just went 0 for 15. It's good. It's all good. I got him. Go back to sleep. Yeah, whatever is the reason behind all of this, the fact that he has now gotten out of this is a really, really cool deal. And I compare it to this. There was a time when Kurt Warner was the quarterback of the Cardinals, and he had his starting job taken from him, and it was given to Matt Leinart. And Kurt knew the injustice of it all. Kurt was probably feeling as bad inside as Goldie was during his slump. Now, they're not the same thing, but I'm talking about how really good, mature athletes handle failure and realize that anybody can be a good teammate and a good person when things are going your way.
Yeah.
Anybody. Okay. When things are going bad, that's really what tests and reveals what you're all about. So Kurt, when he was benched in that locker room, he had two choices. He could have told media people, teammates, everybody off the record how he just got hosed. He could have undermined Matt Leinart. He could have sulked. He did none of it because his beliefs were of such that, okay, look, if I'm going to be the person I aspire to be, then I've got to do it when things are not in my favor. And out of all the things Kurt Warner did, and he did great things in Arizona, I always go back to that as one of the most impressive things I ever witnessed.
That's sort of like the foundation you were talking about before. If that's what you're working from as a person, then when you actually start to hit success, it's going to be that much more exaggerated.
Exactly. And I kind of see the same thing with Paul Goldschmidt, where during all of these struggles, he just never lost his mind, and he never lost himself in failure. He never became anybody really different.
No.
And that's a really quality trait to have as a person.
Even the example you gave where he told Torrey Lovello to tell the media that he sucks.
Right.
It was the next game or the game after I was in the clubhouse, and he was there answering questions for 10 minutes about the humidor and just about everything and just going on. And he's not somebody that like hid from the media. I know that there's that sort of thought, well, he made Lovello talk to the media. That was a one-time thing, and he's available every game. There just wasn't anything to talk about for a month.
Yeah, and the thing about that whole Lovello incident, it wasn't as if he told Torrey that so he could take the night off and go disappear in the trainer's room.
Absolutely.
He was still available to the media after Torrey relayed that message, which is why that message that night seemed so weird and out of place. But it was also a sign of a manager who just wanted to get on the same page with his guy before he had to go answer these tough questions.
Yeah.
So that's all good. So now the D-backs have got something good going again. Last time, Steve Gilbert pointed this out, last time they returned from a road trip, that road trip was 1-8. Won one game out of nine. They couldn't hit. They're coming home with a much different vibe right now. And now they've got a chance to get some teams that they can do some damage against and maybe start to get their record back to where it was when they were peaking. And in a Major League Baseball season, at a time in Major League Baseball where everything that we once thought was true about the game, it's all changing. It's all shifting. And we're just seeing these wild swings and performances, and the D-backs are right at the front of it, right at the very front of it all.
It's not just him that's hitting. I mean, Ketel Marte just went off over the last week, but it's obviously the most noticeable with Goldschmidt. You see the guy hovering around 200, and we had this conversation like a week ago of, well, he's not going to be hitting around 300 this year. Just understand that, you know, he's going to start hitting better, and his average at the end of the year is not going to look great, but his average from this point forward might be fantastic. He might hit 300. He just raised his average 45 points
now,
in 2 weeks.
Let me, this is one thing, and I've felt this about Major League Baseball for the longest time. You know, in baseball, they say everything averages out over the course of a season. That's the point of Major League Baseball. Isn't it weird that a guy can have a season without any real severe ups and downs and end up, say, at 305, 30, and 100, whatever? Then you could have a season with these wild dips and still end up there. What explains that?
You got me. It's going to be absurd if Goldschmidt hits around. If he hits like right at his career average, which is like 297, right around 300.
Yeah.
If he finishes the season there
right.
with the start that he had, it's insane. Because he's going to have to hit like 500 for a month.
Also, think about this. It only exists in baseball. There would never be a scenario where LeBron James averaged 6 points a game for 15
right.
games.
That's right.
And then averaged 60 points a game for 15 games.
That's exactly right.
It is so weird.
And Goldie isn't the first guy this has happened to. This has happened to a lot of quality hitters who go into these prolonged, awful valleys, but then catch fire and end up right where they were supposed to at the end of the season.
But this has to be one of the most extreme cases.
And I don't know what explains it.
But the team is extreme. They were only the second team ever to win 18 or more games in April and then lose 18 or more games
You're
in
right.
May.
Yeah.
And they if they win tonight, they will have won as many games in June as they won in all of May.
He already has, Goldschmidt already has four more hits than he had in all of May.
That's weird. That's really crazy. Because then you say to yourself, why isn't it possible then, like a guy like Paul Goldschmidt couldn't have a normal season and then have a really crazy hot streak like he is now, and who knows how long it's going to last, and then end up hitting 370. But that doesn't happen.
Well, unless you're J.D. Martinez last year.
Well, that's true. I guess there are always examples.
Yeah, I want to see what he, like, if he finishes this year. Okay, so last year was 297. The year before was 297. Like, he's just, if he finishes this year somehow at 297, and it's so different than the previous 2 years, you're on to something.
And I don't know what possibly can explain it. How a guy can get that hot to atone for such a poor start, and then once he gets back to where he's supposed to be, it all levels off again.
Yeah.
There's something just, it's almost magical and weird. I don't even know. Baseball gods.
That's baseball.
That's what they always say. That's baseball.
This week, we're qualifying you for the Chosen Son Ultimate Draft Experience in New York City. If you haven't entered already, text DRAFT to 620-620 and listen every day this week at 7:15 a.m., 12:15, and 4:15 for your name. You'll have 10 minutes to call and claim your official Suns draft hat and a qualifying spot for the grand prize trip to New York. Once again, DRAFT to 620-620 and listen all this week for the Ultimate Draft Experience.
All right, coming up on the other side, David Johnson and the Arizona Cardinals. What exactly is happening? That's next. Luke Lipinski, Dan Bickley, 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. All right, we know football season never ends in America. It's been a great offseason in terms of interest and headlines for the Arizona Cardinals. But our football team and an MVP candidate took a little strange twist last week. David Johnson, star running back coming off of an injury that forced him to miss all but one game last year, was a spectator during OTAs last week with a unknown, non-serious injury. And then all of a sudden, the conversation turned to money, or the speculation turned to money. David Johnson, under his rookie deal, obviously does not make a lot by NFL standards, certainly not by superstar standards. Scheduled to make, what, $1.8 million this coming season, which would be something we all would embrace.
Yeah, I'd take that.
Yeah. But if you're a guy who's now shooting for 1,000 rushing or 1,000 receiving yards and 1,500 rushing yards with the workload he has been embracing and wanting, you wonder if this is not a good or appropriate measure to take, if that is indeed the measure that's being taken.
Here's why it's a story, because he didn't practice, and then they asked Steve Wilks, why didn't he practice? And instead of just saying, oh, you know, Veterans Day off or something, he said this.
You know, the one thing I would say in regards to that, you know, it's the off season, and I'm not going to really indulge in, you know, injuries or things like that with guys are doing that's not participating. We're going to talk about the guys that are out there.
And we talked about that last week a little bit.
Yeah.
You could On the surface, you could just understand David Johnson not participating in OTAs, coming off an injury. He's fine, but he's coming off an injury, and you know he's the focal point of your offense. But the way Steve Wilkes said that all of a sudden made you think, wait, what? Something's going on?
That's very true, and it gets down to whenever a head football coach responds to a question by saying, we're only going to talk about the guys on the field or the guys who are participating.
And that's the part we should have heard last week, because we were all talking about how it sounds like he's hurt and they're hiding something, even though he's probably not hurt.
Right.
But it's the second part where we're only going to talk about the guys that are here.
Right.
Usually means money.
And it usually sounds like the head coach is a little dissatisfied, especially a new head coach, trying to create a new system, a new energy, a new direction, and then suddenly your best player is on the sidelines. What do you do in a situation like that? So when you hear a head coach say that, you can't assume he's agitated, but they generally are.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, when asked, hey, why is Tom Brady in Monaco on a yacht throwing passes? I'm not going to talk about people who aren't here participating.
Well, he's generally agitated, though.
Well, that's true. But yeah, the question becomes bigger than that, only from the standpoint that David Johnson, as a young superstar on the rise in Arizona, has really crafted, and I don't think this has really been anything that he's done from a PR strategy standpoint, but he's just always been so agreeable, so nice, so I'll do anything you want. He's always been hell-bent on pleasing coaches. Everything that has sort of made him who he is was all like rooted in this remarkable humility.
Yeah.
Right? Not thinking he's all that, etc. But if you're David Johnson and you've got an agent, it's very understandable for an agent to go, okay, look, you had a head coach who wanted to give you the ball 30 times a game, and he did, and he rode you like crazy, and now you've got these big goals. The last thing you want to do, my client, is to give everything you have to this game and this team before you get paid, and then be in a place when it's time to get paid where you don't have all that much left.
Yeah. It's really hard to fault NFL players for pushing for more money. Now, the person you're describing with David Johnson is a major reason why a lot of people have him as their favorite player on the team,
mm-hmm.
because he is so humble and he is so team first and he seems so happy-go-lucky and all that stuff. And it's just sort of personality that is easy to root for.
Yeah.
And he just happens to be a great player. So this really flies in the face of that, and it'll be interesting to see how people react to it if this is really what's going on. But, you know, on the other hand, making $1.8 million, he's coming off an injury. Now, I don't think you look at that and you say, okay, he's injury prone. It was sort of a freak play. But look at it from David Johnson's perspective. What if he goes out there this year and A, doesn't get the opportunity to put up the same numbers that he would have with Bruce Arians because it's a new coach? And B, what if he gets hurt and then his contract's up and all of a sudden he's just kind of getting lowballed and he's a 27-year-old running back?
Yep.
And not like he'd be a backup somewhere next year, but
yeah.
If something goes south this year, he may come out of the NFL with not really that much money.
Yeah, and I think maybe that is the fear that has been sort of placed in front of David Johnson, and I think up until this point, he would not have listened to it or internalized it, or maybe wasn't even in a place to do so because of where he's from, what his story was, how much pride he took in proving people wrong and all that. So, but I think maybe that time has come now where he's been faced with some hard realities, and that is, and I agree with you about this injury-prone thing. We saw what happened to him at the end of the game in Los Angeles two seasons ago. Last game of the year, he got bent over backwards, twisted like a pretzel, and we all thought there were going to be multiple tears in that knee, just from the look of it.
It was bad.
And he responded fine. And at that point, we're like, wow, this guy is one of those genetic marvels who may not be really at risk to the kind of injuries that always seem to befell a lot of star running backs. And in that case, I would have thought anything to the contrary. He's not injury prone. Not only that, this guy's made of steel. Then he injured his hand, broke his hand or broke his wrist in that first game of last season. And maybe that's flukish. Maybe there's nothing you can do about it. But you would have to ask the question, given what you were through last year and given your usage on this football team, which is a high rate of usage, you better get something in the bank right here and now. The warning of it all would be the Paul Goldschmidt example, where Paul Goldschmidt at that point in time in his career, his agent convinced him, dude, you're way ahead of the curve. You're way outperforming your contract. Why don't we do this? If you want to get some security, why don't you take this 5 years and $32 million?
Yeah.
Which now turned out to be almost as undervalued as his rookie deal was. But that's the short-term gain versus the long-term investment in yourself that all athletes have to make. The question now becomes, where does this go? How fast does it happen? And do the Cardinals work with him to get something done? They've got some cap money, if I'm not mistaken, to do something. But it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a Jimmy Garoppolo deal.
No.
What if he gets $20 million in guarantees over some sort of extension? Would that be good for David Johnson?
David Johnson, just he seems like the sort of guy that it isn't going to be like the most hardline negotiator ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such an extreme example or case because he's a running back. And it's not like he's coming. He came into the league at age 21. He came in at 23. And so now you're looking at a guy that's 26 already. And even some of the greatest running backs in today's NFL are essentially done as truly elite productive guys, maybe even starters, by like 28. So, you know, coming off that injury, it's not just that he's an NFL player, it's that he's a running back and that he started late. And so you can see why he's going to want to hold out for a little bit. But I don't think, you know, I can't negotiate for him, but I can't imagine he's going to take some hard stance like Le'Veon Bell does every
year. Yeah, I would hope not. Mike Garofalo said this, NFL Network's quote, I do know he and his camp have started to think about what's... Oh, we've got this sound.
So instead I don't see any way he plays just for that. Truly believe that the Cardinals and David Johnson at some point will negotiate a contract extension before the season. You're talking about a guy who believes that he can go 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yards rushing. Ain't a shot he's going to play for $1.9 million. I do know that he and his camp have started to think about what's our number, what do we want to get to. And the Cardinals, frankly, know that if a guy winds up putting up $1,000 and then he's slated for free agency, now you're talking that franchise tag game. So there is incentive for them to do the deal ahead of the season as well.
Now, that's very interesting as well. So then you ask yourself, if David Johnson is that close to that kind of payday, what is his incentive to get something done now? And where is that number going to be? Some sports track marketing model had his value down at $9.2 million a year in comparison to other NFL players.
Very specific.
Very specific. And again, I think we all agree that he's worth it. It might be a situation where it works out for both parties, but the question becomes how soon? And if not right away, what effect does it have on the rest of the team? Look at other contract holds out. You mentioned Le'Veon Bell. Earl Thomas is holding out in Seattle until he gets a new contract. At what point in time does this become a damaging thing to the team? I would say it only becomes a damaging thing when A, the player looks unfairly selfish, or B, there are other guys more worthy of the money ahead of him on the extension list.
That's fair.
And I don't know if there's anybody on the Cardinals who qualifies for that.
I mean, if you could be guaranteed that every NFL running back would stay healthy this entire season coming up, which running backs would you take over David Johnson? Maybe Le'Veon Bell, maybe Todd Gurley, maybe. But honestly, if I could be guaranteed they were going to stay healthy the whole season, I'd take my chances with David Johnson.
Yeah, I like Le'Veon Bell. Don't love him. Maybe it's the attitude. So I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody, if we knew he was fully healthy, that's going to produce like David Johnson in terms of how dynamic he happens to be. Either way, the Cardinals now, this is going to be one of those moments where do they get it done in the spirit of camaraderie and compromise and fair negotiating? Or does this continue to kind of fester?
You don't want it to snowball.
No.
You just want to
get
it fixed. You know, you described Le'Veon Bell. You don't want that situation where
no.
It seems like he and the team don't really like each other every year, or maybe it's just sort of like a working relationship. It feels like David Johnson loves being a member of the Arizona Cardinals, at least right now.
And this community.
Yeah.
And you don't want anything to spoil that.
No.
All right.
When we come back, the NBA Finals. They basically were over like 6 months ago, but they were officially over the weekend. We'll discuss what's next for LeBron, Luke Lipinski, and for Vince Murata, the Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Insider Update.
All right, the NBA draft coming up, and we've got it smothered. Roundtable coverage. I'm going to be in New York for the festivities. Over the weekend, the Suns brought in Mo Bamba. I wonder if Mo convinced them that he is their guy. Jaren Jackson Jr. in for a visit as well. And oh, by the way, Luka Doncic claims, yes, I will stay in the NBA draft. All of that draft coverage, that's going to be next segment, where we get into the Phoenix Suns ramping up into what should be a historic night if they don't trade the pick.
What was a less dramatic announcement or revelation? That Luka Doncic is going to be involved in the NBA draft this year.
Not very dramatic.
Or that Golden State defeated Cleveland in the NBA Finals.
Not very dramatic. The Golden State Warriors dispatched the Cleveland Cavaliers in a four-game sweep. And I like the way you said it. It just kind of, okay, we knew that this was going to be the outcome 6 months ago. And I think that's one of the takeaways that may not be the greatest thing in the world for the NBA, but a lot of it will and can be mitigated with player movement, changing the parameters, the landscape, the contenders, all of that. LeBron James is at the front and center of all of this. Where is he going to end up? There are a lot of varied reports out there that all seem to point to the same thing, and that is LeBron staying in Cleveland, I don't think is very reasonable. There's a report that Cavs owner Dan Gilbert is looking forward to the opportunity of building a championship team without LeBron James. Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Is he switching teams too?
Right. And it reminds me back in my days in Chicago when, you know, okay, we have Michael Jordan, but organizations win championships.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they don't. No, they don't. Great players win championships. So Dan Gilbert, careful what you wish for.
Is he going to write another crazy letter when he leaves?
Just not talk when LeBron leaves.
Is he going to republish the same letter?
He could do that.
He will not win another championship.
That it might be true this time. LeBron might not win another championship, depending on where he goes. How about the fact that in an elimination game, so LeBron James' season ends. He attempts less field goals than Rodney Hood.
Ugh.
Just what a dud of a game four.
That was just a surrender moment, wasn't it? Didn't you just know that there was just no belief there at all?
Yeah.
And it just ended.
But that, I think, is why people are sort of making that one extra leap that he's not coming back, because if you go out there and you win game four, it essentially does nothing. You're going to lose game five. We mm-hmm. all know that. But at the same time, you're LeBron James. You're building that legacy. Whether you admit it or not, you're still... That loss, getting swept, I don't remember Michael Jordan ever getting swept.
No.
So you know people are going to say that.
He got swept twice in the first round.
Okay.
Well, I got into an argument with a bunch of people on Twitter after this about LeBron versus Jordan again.
Right.
Winning titles?
Because I said, yes.
Okay.
I said LeBron, yes, LeBron has a better finals record than, Jordan has a better finals record, but Jordan also lost seven times before the finals. Whereas LeBron only lost four times before the finals.
Yeah.
And then they both didn't make the playoffs two times.
Okay.
And yes, LeBron got swept twice in the finals, but Jordan got swept twice in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay. This whole debate is missing its final chapter. And that final chapter is going to be, where does LeBron finish his NBA career? There's a report out of South Texas that Greg Popovich is going to force his way into LeBron's free agency itinerary to sell him on the virtues of playing in San Antonio.
That'd be awful.
It would be awful.
You know what, though? Wouldn't be as bad as him going to the Lakers.
Would it or wouldn't it?
From a Suns fan perspective, wouldn't you rather... Wow, this is terrible. Wouldn't you rather LeBron on San Antonio than LeBron on the Lakers? Feels like there's more flexibility if he goes to L.A. too, for him to bring in a few guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't think San Antonio is going to win the title with LeBron. They're just going to, I mean, because...
Well, with LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, and LaMarcus Aldridge, they don't need a few guys. They already have them.
But is that better than Golden State?
that would surely be a way for Greg Popovich to convince Kawhi Leonard to stay.
Yeah.
Now the big possibility would be the Los Angeles Lakers. There are reports that he might want to talk Chris Paul and not Paul George into going to LA with them, or maybe both. I don't know.
Well, if you take my big thing, if you're going to go to the West, is you basically have to go to Houston, because that's your only chance to go to the West and be better than Golden State. If you add LeBron to Chris Paul, and I mean, that team almost beat them anyway. I guess if you go to the Lakers and you take Chris Paul from Houston, that's one less team you really have to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's LeBron James and Chris Paul and Paul George in LA, that's better than James Harden.
And think about it this way. If they add Chris Paul, Paul George, and LeBron James, they're adding three great players and six first names.
Did you see that thing? Like, it was a couple weeks ago. If we talk about this on the show, if you put LeBron James on Houston, did you see this, Jarrett? If you put LeBron James with James Harden and Chris Paul and Paul George, it was everybody's first name and their last name. There was like a way you could put it together where it spelled out all of their first and last names twice.
Wow.
It was weird.
Chris Paul, George.
No, don't try and do
all
it.
All you're
LeBron,
missing is
James
a Ringo.
Harden.
Yeah.
It was something like that where like it spelled out their first name spelled out whatever, Chris Paul and LeBron James, and their last name spelled out James Harden and Paul George. It was weird, which is why you can't go there. Because that's like a ripple in the Matrix.
Jared, did you already use that joke?
I've used versions of it in the past, maybe, but you still laughed. It was still relevant.
Yeah. Okay.
Jared's running out of material.
Oh, that's okay. It's not a bad observation. Dwayne Wade, meanwhile, says that LeBron's priorities are going to be family and lifestyle. I guess you can rule out Milwaukee. Right?
Yeah, you can rule out Cleveland, too.
Rule out Cleveland. That's another thing that would seem to point into LA's favor. LeBron's got a massive place in Southern California.
Yeah. I have the Vegas odds here. Do you want to hear them?
I do want to
hear them. These are the top eight most likely places for him to go. Miami is eighth, Clippers seven, Golden State six. Why does that keep coming up?
Oh, come on. Come on.
San Antonio fifth, Cleveland fourth, and then Philadelphia three, Houston two, Lakers one. That's according to
Boston
Vegas.
Boston wasn't on there?
Boston not on that list.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either. Not with Kyrie there. That's just not going to happen. But the thing about LeBron in that list of teams, if LeBron James joined the Golden State Warriors, I think the NBA would lose about 90% of its fans.
I think you'd have a lot of people watch the first week to see what it looks like to see a team. And then you'd have a lot of people in the last week to see if they could go 82-0, to see if they could complete the undefeated season, and that would be that.
Have you also noticed, and maybe I'm wrong about this, have you also noticed that after winning an NBA championship, so that's how many now for this Warriors team?
Three.
That's three of them.
Yeah.
So Steve Kerr's got three titles as a coach, three as a player in Chicago, two as a player in San Antonio. He's got eight rings now.
Not bad.
Eight championship rings. Okay, a couple years from now, he could be in Phil Jackson territory, which would be unbelievable. But isn't it amazing how few people are talking about the Warriors and the quality of that team, and it's all about the loser and LeBron?
I think it's because you could speak to this a lot better than I could, but even when Jordan was dominant and those Bulls teams were great, it still felt like there was some intrigue when they were playing in the finals, whereas this just wasn't. This doesn't even feel like the series happened last week. There was game one, and that was it.
Yeah,
and don't so you, it's just sort of a foregone conclusion 8 months ahead of
don't
time.
Don't you also think that NBA fans don't really respect the Warriors because they added Kevin Durant?
Yes, yeah. I do. I do think that's the case. But David West afterwards said people have no idea what was going on behind the scenes. David West literally gave, and other Sean Livingston gave shout outs to Steve Kerr for keeping everything tapped down. But David West, quote, I thought this was funny. Quote, we're so tight, people don't even know what we went through. They trying to find out we don't have suckas on this team. Is that the word for players who go and whisper about how weird and how dysfunctional things are behind the scene?
Apparently it is.
Does that make you a sucka?
Yeah, you don't want to be that.
No.
You don't win titles like that.
The NBA.
Yeah, that's
the NBA.
I think Jarrett's right. I think people sort of, and maybe you didn't turn on Golden State, but you just kind of are like, all right. I mean, once you added Kevin Durant, that's okay.
No. All right, in the 11 o'clock hour, we are going to turn our attention to the Phoenix Suns, the number one pick in the NBA draft. Can they do something to get into this Western Conference conversation next year? That's coming up. Bickley, Luke Lipinski, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.